From the heart of the Oregon wine country, you're listening to Season 7 of the Wine Crush Podcast. Stories uncorked for wine enthusiasts around the world, featuring winemakers from the Willamette Valley and beyond. Sponsored by Country Financial. From origin stories to terroir, here's your host, Heidi Moore.
Hey, everybody. It is time for Wine Crush, which is always a great day. I love it when I have people in my studio. And today, not only are we downtown McMinnville and having a great time, but I have one return offender. Paul Johnson with Seder Fires back with us, and he brought Maria Ponzi with him today. And we're going to do a little thing that's a little bit different. We're going to talk about their stories. We're going to talk about wine, but we're going to talk about some education stuff, which we will enthrall you all with and inspire you to go back to school. So, Maria, we're going to start with you. I'm so excited that you're here. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you, get to know you, and I'm really excited to kind of hear the story of your life, because you are one of those rare occasions where breeds that actually were born into the wine industry and really kind of grew up with it. And that is a rarity around here. So
yeah,
let's talk wine with you and also what you're doing now, because life has changed for you a little bit.
How much time do you have? Because my life, I'm very old. So
hours. Hours.
Well, no, but thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, well, I wasn't actually born into it. I think it started at age 4, so pretty close. Pretty close. Way back when. So this is the late 60s, and there are no wineries, or actually no vineyards to be heard of in this area. So there's a whole long story about that. But I mean, where to start? Such a big question. Growing up as a little kid in what was not even known as a wine region, it was pretty much you were just sort of a freak, really. People knew that your parents were making wine, which was this terrible beverage, and they must be drunks. And we had come from California. So again, we were outsiders. It was not as welcoming, I would say, as it is today, honestly. I often laugh because I have grown kids, but as they were growing up, were known as wine kids. It was like, oh, that's so fancy. You must be really wealthy people and like live in a chateau. Not that that was true, but just the evolution of going really from being a really a country kid living in a tiny little house on a few acres that we had to clear and plant. And then, of course, create some kind of business out of that and to where we are today with seeing international producers now in our region has kind of been a tremendous ride for whatever it's been, 50 some years. So, yeah.
I think it's understated when kids grow up in the country. I mean, I grew up in the country, and especially in a vineyard because it is oh so fancy, but it's such hard work.
Right.
I mean, this whole clearing of land isn't a matter of running a bulldozer through it. There's so much more to it. And then just the farming aspect from day-to-day life is a completely different story on top of that.
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing pretty about it. And, you know, you'd hear about people who were going to soccer practice or brownies or Girl Scouts, and you'd be like, I didn't even know what that was, because we spent every weekend, every break, just working either in the vineyard or in the winery. We never even called it a winery. You know, it was a garage. And, you know, bottling wine, schlepping hoses around and being cold and being wet. And it was miserable.
Dirty.
Yeah. And sticky and dirty. And it was pretty miserable for a kid. Fast forward, fortunately, we were successful. We sold some wine at some point, and the industry helped alongside us. So we were all selling wine, which really helped to raise the bar, of course, for the region. But I was able to find a place in it that I really loved, which was in the not cold and terrible cellar, but it was either in the tasting room or hosting wholesalers. So I got into the sales and the marketing end of the business, and that was such a pleasure. And that's what I was able to do for many years. So left the winemaking to my sister.
I think that kind of transition to your story and kind of where you took a left at the why instead of, you know, stayed in the cellar is going to be really serendipitous to what we talk about here in just a few minutes of what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And growing up in that sort of environment, it completely instills a different sort of work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that you probably don't hold still very well and you get bored really quickly.
Yes, this is all very true. I think you don't really realize just how hard you work. And I think you also mentioned, you know, being a country kid, there's always work to be done on the farm. We were raised on the farm. So we had cows and we had sheep and we had goats and we had chickens and a garden. So if we weren't in the vineyard and if we weren't in the winery, we were working outside. So you're right. It's just a constant. And I think you develop a really strong work ethic. Fortunately, I'm really happy that I have one. And, you know, fast forward again, we sold the winery. My sister and I sold the winery a couple of years ago. And it was like, oh my gosh, for the first time in my life, like, I just don't even know how to do. I mean, you know, to have a day to myself. And that didn't last long. And now I'm doing a lot of things that I've always wanted to do. And it's been an incredible journey. And I'm really excited where I find myself today, back in McMinnville, incidentally.
It's funny how it kind of magnetically draws you back.
Yeah.
McMinnville is a magnetic little town. And I never thought I would stay here after graduating from Linfield because I'm a Linfield alum as well. Mm. And the thing as a student is you don't mingle with the townies. And it was just kind of I don't know if it was a snooty thing or a snobby thing or whatever it was. I married a townie, so I'm stuck, which I'm very grateful for. It's such a great place to raise kids and to thrive as a business and things like that. And so it's cool that you've gotten pulled back into that.
Well, and I wasn't from McMinnville. I was from the other side. It was the other side of the hill. So we were over in Shoals and Beaverton area. But every July, we would be down here for the IPNC and on Linfield's campus. And I was a little girl, you know, dancing around under the oak grove. And my mother was one of the original, you know, founders of the IPNC, along with those other remarkable people who had that just incredible vision for what could happen here. So yeah, it's kind of remarkable that I find myself not only back in McMinnville, but actually on the campus at Linfield.
Which we'll go to part two. But I do want to mention that you're an author now, because we don't want to miss that part.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your book really quick.
Thank you. Yeah. So again, as you mentioned, I had this really rare opportunity to grow up with really just very visionary, determined, I could go on and on with their adjectives, but remarkable people who I was able to really watch build an industry. And I'm not speaking just about my folks, Dick and Nancy, but actually I was part of this community. And so I was in those meetings, unbearable meetings at the time, but with, you know, Dickie Rath and Dave Edelsheim and a lot of folks that are no longer with us, but really had this rare opportunity to be right there watching it all happen. And I felt that it needed to be written down. So I was a journalism major. So over about 10 years, I started writing this book, and it's called Pinot Girl. And it's really about the origins of the wine industry here in Oregon and how we got started, how it was such a collaborative effort, and just the kind of ingenuity and resourcefulness and determination and love that it took to get it to go to where it is today. So it's through the lens of this little girl. And the little girl's me. So a bit of a memoir.
What incredible meetings to sit through. Like, it kind of gave me goosebumps. I'm like,
crazy.
Wow. All those personalities, the people that are legendary, you know, including your folks, including so many others that when you say Oregon Pinot, their names popped at the top.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine the conversations, arguments potentially of what they thought was best or what direction she should, you know, you should all take it or whatever. And it's turned into this really amazing industry that we can all be so proud of.
Yeah. I mean, there were very many evenings when I was, you know, up in my bunk bed and the discussions of, I don't know, probably 40 people down in the kitchen and drinking wines and clinking and clanking and spitting and the whole thing that happens when you get wine people together. And then, just the kind of opinions and stubbornness that, you know, you could just hear, even as a young person, you could make up that these were some really interesting characters. And they were interesting characters. And, you know, you'll have to read the book. But really, you know, if you can go back to the 70s, these are guys with long beards and bell-bottom pants, and the women were macrame, and just the whole thing was quite the scene. And I'm just, again, I feel really honored to have been sort of front row of a lot of that stuff.
So. Yeah, no kidding. And what a great thing to write it down and share with the rest of the world.
Yeah, thank you.
So, okay, speaking of interesting characters, we are going to move over to Paul Johnson with Seder Fire. And we've heard his story once before, but he's going to give us a really great version of that again.
Hi there. Yeah.
Thank you. So excited that you were back here again, this time doing something a little bit different, still making your wine, but now in a different capacity with Linfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me again. I'm honored to be here for a second time.
They made me ask you to be here.
I understand that. Yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm the only one that wants to
nobody asked.
step up and sit here and chat about wine on air. But
let's hear about your past, because I loved your origin story and how you got into it too, because it's completely polar opposite than what Maria's is, with you know, having a family that started in the vineyard and all the legendary stuff in between. You started a little differently.
That's right. Yeah, I did start very differently. I'm not an Oregonian. I am a transplant. I moved here from Connecticut almost 10 years ago now. And it was a career that began over there in wine that drew me west. And it was Pinot Noir from Oregon, like the Ponzi Pinot Noir that I was selling at the bottle shop that I ran back on the East Coast, and other amazing producers that made their way into the market there that inspired that move. And at the time, we weren't sure that we would, you know, be settlers and stay here for the rest of our lives. Now we're confident in that. But it was, this series of events that brought us here and helped us find this new home. And you're right. Yeah, as I absolutely have Seder fire going on in the background in my life at all times. I came from the winery this morning. There is a certain amount of feeling a bit like an imposter, you know, sitting here next to Maria Ponzi.
As like, I'm not judging. I'm talking about,
I'm making Oregon wine. So, you know, we're not from here, but coming here to make the wine. But something has just changed. My wife and I just had a baby 5 months ago. So
yes,
I feel like
you did.
Starting an Oregon family and bringing our first Oregonian into the world is like us like putting that flag into the earth. I don't feel as bad about it saying it anymore. But absolutely, yeah, had the just absolute fortune to come out west, find a great home here, fall immediately into an amazing community of people, and get a chance to learn from incredible winemakers, find my way into beautiful wine cellars, be able to ask questions of people who are so giving with their knowledge. It's been a string of a few different positions and that have led me here. And obviously, I've done a couple of things right if I'm sitting here next to Maria Ponzi, you know, talking about Oregon wine. And
No kidding. It's great company.
Yeah.
But yeah, most recently hired by Linfield University. And I come from non-academia, as I'm talking about. I'm not an educator. So they brought me in as somebody who is, you know, the entire duration of my career, I've been working in wine, to run a wine program and offer some of that insight to the students there. But in terms of my, you know, life currently, it's just all based in the stewardship of Oregon wine. For me right now, that path is going down the path of helping to educate and find job placement for the next generation of Oregon wine business owners and wine business people and winemakers in the form of students. But at all times, just getting to thrive and exist in this community is just a dream come true. I recognize it every day.
I'm interested because of the difference in timelines as far as, like, you know, Paul just coming in more or less and Maria growing up in it. Oregon is known for this collaborative spirit of who they are and what they're doing. And I'd like to get your both of your opinions on that, because I think it's so powerful and what makes us as a whole so unique. And maybe somebody could learn something from that.
Yeah. I think that at the core of it, the originals that came here back in those early days, nobody had resource, right? Many of us didn't even know how to make wine. That's the irony. Many people didn't know how to plant a vineyard. But they were idealists and hardworking again. And so the concept of pulling together each other's talents and skills was just sort of essential and to make the industry work. And what I find to be so remarkable about that is that everyone was on the same page. Everybody was here because of Pinot Noir. That's the irony. It wasn't like, we want to grow grapes and I want to do Gamay and I want to do Riesling. It was like everyone was, those originals were all very like, just laser focused on this one varietal. And so I think that allowed that collaboration to happen a little easier in some ways. But it was also because it was necessary, because nothing was going to happen unless we did it together, because we were all just so, we had nothing really. And I love that story so much because it's real. Again, I witnessed it, so I know it's real. It wasn't made up. And even though everybody came from a different place, a lot of transplants, and different skills and talents, that we're able to really respect each other, even despite stubbornness and all those things, to really listen and build this thing together. And I think even still today, and Paul probably sees it more than I do in the shop, but that just seems to be just still the framework of folks who are still coming in to be a part of this industry, that there's an understanding that we're going to work together and we're going to support each other. And sharing of information and sharing of facilities and just, it goes on and on, continues this tradition, you know, really continues. And I think that's pretty, it's just really unique. And I think it's also probably something that's allowed because we're in Oregon. And Oregon, it's the Oregon spirit, I think, too. But that's how it started, because it was sort of essential for survival.
It's, you know, I've talked about this a lot outside of this, and we can talk about this a little bit. It's not a program that Linfield offers anymore, and it was an immersion program that Ellen Britton had encouraged me to enroll in when I first started learning about wine. And one of the days that we had was in the actual vineyard itself, and we had Alan Holstein, and those that know Alan or don't know Alan, I mean, he's a pioneer of kind of more of the vineyard side and has been very closely knit with several wineries and growing them and whatever. But he had taken us to a vineyard up on the hill somewhere and led us through all these different ways of planting vines. Mm-hmm. They were all experiments, and it was all being done at the same time that your parents were bringing their winery up, and the Adelsheims and Letts and everybody else. And it was so intriguing to me to see history in motion and how they started and how they finish and now how we do things. It was really kind of a like a biography in the field. It was super cool.
Yeah, it's so true. And I don't want to take over, but it's so true because vineyards tell the story too. People tell stories, but vineyards last even longer. In some cases, everything from how we were planting and pruning and how we were grafting and clones, it just goes on and on. All of that material is in the ground still today. These old vineyards.
It's great.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, I'm interested to hear your take on this whole Oregon collaboration and how, as a newcomer coming in from the East Coast of all places, with really no winemaking background, no vineyard background other than the bottle shop, how were you treated? How has it really shaped your career path and why you're doing things the way you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. The community and the traditions that Maria's talking about and the ones that you've heard about just as, whenever you hear about the neighborliness and the peerliness of the Oregon wine industry, absolutely true. This is a real thing that exists here. I know it's unique to our region because I hear that from winemakers from other regions all the time, like that we should be grateful for how collaborative our community is. And right now, you know, I'm the one that walks in and is immediately benefiting from it. And I see it as my responsibility to be the steward of it, to uphold that and be a part of that community and make sure that it changes hands throughout future generations. But yeah, I mean, just look, like you referenced, I came out here without any true experience, just a dream and some discipline. And yeah, I constantly found people who were willing to share knowledge with me, willing to work with me. You know, for my company, I've got 8 different vineyards, all of whose owners are willing to sell me grapes, which, you know, when I was making a couple hundred cases a year at first, these are people that were willing to sell me really inconvenient small amounts of grapes. Now I've grown those contracts and proven to them over the course of 4 or 5 years that these are like great business relationships. But at the time, this is just, these are people who were willing to take a risk on me, right? And then down to the wineries that I've been able to do custom crush at. These are winery owners, whether it was Jill and Alan Methven before Alan passed away, or now Mark and Patty Bjornsson, where I make my wines. You know, these are people with beautiful winery on a remote hillside that are carefully crafting their own wines right alongside their home. And they just let people like us come in and trust that we're going to come in and, you know, dedicate ourselves to upholding the sanctity of their small winery. And so there's just a lot of trust, a lot of giving. That's the attitude that I've experienced every day since I entered this community. And like I said, I hope to be one of those winery owners who offers up some space for one of the rugged little winemakers from next generation to come in and practice their craft. Or if I am lucky enough to have some land under vine, I look forward to working with all sorts of different contracts for people that large or small. But it's beautiful, it's ongoing, and we're so lucky to have a part of it. With the wine bar that I'm operating now on 3rd Street, the Acorn to Oak Wine Experience, that is probably my favorite part of the business fundamentally, is that on our list are 26 different wineries. And yeah, for the past 10 years, I've been running sales programs for individual wineries and loved doing that. But now I'm back to those wine buyer roots, and I'm getting to collaborate one-on-one with 26 different wineries who all are making incredibly different things from incredibly different terroir. Every one of them has a very different personality. And, you know, I'm not going through any wholesale channels for that. I'm working one-on-one with these wineries. And so Now, enhancing that relationship, building that network, and strengthening those bonds is so much fun. So
I love that. And I want to touch more on Acorn to Oak a little bit later because sure. I want to introduce the program a little bit. I mean, Linfield's just not running a wine bar. They've got a lot more going on than just that.
I got a one-track mind.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. But I do want to touch on this wine that you brought because I love it when people bring surprises. And there's this little clear bottle that's like half the size of a regular bottle that is yours that you pretty much robbed out of the winery this morning. So let's talk about a little bit about your wine, because that's important. And this is very tasty.
I'm glad you're liking it. Like I said, you're test subjects for it. It's the first time I've poured this for anyone other than myself. And I did just come from the winery this morning where I was racking wines, preparing for bottling next week. And this is a white blend that I have crafted from four different varieties. It's inspired by Alsace, France. And so it's four Alsatian varieties of Assois, Pinot Gris, Riesling, and Pinot Blanc. And it's going to be called the Forager's Reward. But yeah, this is just an unfiltered tank sample that I pulled.
It's really delicious. Like, I mean, the aromatics on it are fantastic. I mean, the taste is great. The balance is lovely. Really great acid with really nice fruit and flavor and stuff. So
thanks.
Inspired not that I'm a professional by any means, but
it tastes good. It's good.
Thumbs up.
Inspired by yes. these like snappy, energetic yeah. wines, the table wines of Alsace. So
lovely. That is on my list of travels for sure. So, okay. We are here also to talk about Linfield and the Linfield Wine Program, which I know that is not the official name. So I'm going to let you guys tell me the official name of the whole thing. And I will say that, you know, again, being a Linfield alum, I'm very proud and excited that you guys are here. This is a little bit off our normal beaten path of telling stories, but I think this is so incredibly important because it's helping inspire the next generation, whether they're going to be doing business in the wine world or they're going to be making wine or hospitality or whatever it is. This is really a cool program outside of the other offerings that Oregon has had. Yeah. So, Maria, yeah. it's all yours now.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And I think it's kind of a lovely thing because I've come in as the interim director for the Wine Studies program at Linfield. But it is, as we've been speaking about, it's really about giving back again. It's like sharing information. And that's, again, the foundation of the industry here. And I think, like, I've been given this really exciting position to take on something I'm not an academic, you know, at all, but I know about wine and I know how to run a winery and I know how to, what it's like to be in a vineyard. I know all that stuff. So it's just been really thrilling to be a part of this wine education at Linfield that has this remarkable program and it's extensive. And I'm really excited to be a part of it and see what more we can do actually with the program. But currently there's wine studies major and a minor. Courses are, you know, your expected intro to viticulture, enology. But we also have marketing and sales courses. We have hospitality, direct-to-consumer courses. We have this really interesting course called Diverse Voices in Wine, which really brings into our relevancy in our wine community today of people from all over. We have a really wonderful exchange program. And that's one of the things that I love about Linfield is they're all about exploring other places and countries. One program I just heard about, which is so exciting, is that a student could take a two-year study abroad and actually study wine in three different countries.
And where was this I was in school?
Right. I'm like, everyone's like, I want to go. But Italy, France, and Portugal. And so, I mean, it's just remarkable programs like that. And really, we encourage that. And Linfield is so amazing with opportunities for a lot of scholarships. So if students are really interested in this, we can help them to get into these classes and these programs. Internships, another thing I'm really excited about is sharing labor, if you will, but like some experience, labor and skilled labor with some of our local wineries for our students at Linfield. So that's just something so unique that Linfield can offer. And then, of course, WSET. We have our WSET courses and this amazing thing that happened, this tasting experience on 3rd Street that Paul is doing such a brilliant job and just was just open this last fall. So really, again, an opportunity for kids to get that experiential training in a real wine shop and really understand wines and how to present them and prepare them for a journey and a career in wine after they leave Linfield. So it's a lot. I mean, this program is full of exciting things and I think more to do too. We've got some lecture series coming up too. So it just kind of goes on and on. I keep discovering new things.
I think what's fun about this, and especially with someone who's not ever left the area after graduating, and I mean, I've been graduated almost 30 years at this point in time, but this was not offered, none of it, when I was there. I mean, we didn't even talk about wine, but even in like the mid-90s, the wine industry in Yamhill County in Oregon was very small. It was not really existent on large levels like it is now. And even the Oregon wine industry, when you look at the world, I guess, consumption or production or whatever, it's still a very small piece of the overall wine picture. And so this would have been super exciting. Mm-hmm. I may not have been a sociology major. I might have had to be a, you know, a wino, you know, from then on. But it's really cool to see Linfield take a different perspective over what the education pieces have been. Like Oregon State has their program, but it's more fermentation science and the agriculture piece of it. Chemeketa is kind of the same thing, but there has not been this business-focused programs that I'm aware of. And Linfield's kind of picked that up and has ran with it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what's exciting to me is that, again, 50 years later, we can show that you really can have a career in a profession and live a life in wine. It's possible. You don't have to scrap around like we thought, you know, many years ago. And sharing that information, how to be successful in this business, and just the complexity to the business is, I think, fascinating, too. There's so many levels. So if you love agriculture, great. If you love sales, great. If you want to be in business management, great. Finance, we gotcha. I mean, it just goes on and on. Marketing, of course. Events, hospitality. And that's what I think has been, at least through my life, has been the exciting part of the business is that it's just so multifaceted. So there's something for everybody. And as long as you love wine, you got to kind of start with that. You got to love
the
product.
And you can learn to love wine because I did not love wine eight years ago at all. I was 100% a beer girl, like maybe a little vodka mixed in there for some, you know, a little bit of randomness. But wine was not in my forte at all. And now it kind of rules my world on several levels.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, come to Linfield. We'll give you more
education.
I've already been
there.
Come on back.
I've been there a couple times. How long has this program been in place?
I think it started 2016. Can someone check me on that? 2016.
6-year-old program.
Yeah, it's about
7-year-old program.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I will say, again, I know the immersion program that I went through is no longer there. Highly recommend bringing it back.
Okay.
Because honestly... It's where I got my love and passion for what I'm doing. It was a very short, intense course. I mean, I think it was 12 weeks, twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, all day, like from like 8:30 a.m. to like 6. But we started with dirt history and terroir and moved on through vineyard management, winemaking, and then the business side of it. And I reference back those courses all the time. And honestly, without it, I would not be doing what I am doing on the business side with the wine, with the insurance, because I would have not known squat about squat. And I didn't really understand it at all. I didn't understand the people. I didn't understand anything. And I am so in love with the industry and the people that are within the industry that it really is an amazing thing. And it's not me pitching you to do it right now or committing to it by any means, but I just the power in it was really pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're offering a major and a minor in wine is very attractive to a lot of students who want to do something like that. So,
yeah. And we also have a Master of Science in Wine Business Leadership. So, again, there's just more and more. Yeah. So, see, you can come back for that.
I need to find some time in my day to do all of that. Okay, let's switch over to the hospitality and what Paul's doing, unless there's more on the education side that I need to steal your thunder from.
No.
Yeah. Well, I'll begin by, before talking about Acorn, talk about what, you know, the wine study program from my perspective and then what drew me here. Because I've been with Linfield for just 6 months at this point. So it's still.
You're both newbies.
Yeah. You're talking about the two newest parts of this program. But we're both very inspired by it. But it was incredible. I didn't know the first thing about it to a much lesser degree. The only thing I knew about Linfield and wine was having attended IPNC a few times, kind of like Maria had said. And last summer, I was operating as a director of sales for another winery and hiring. And as I was looking at winejobs.com, I just happened to see that Linfield was hiring for a sales manager. And I was like, what's this? You know, and it led me to look into a little bit and want to learn more. But the more I learned about the program, which, as we just said, 6 or 7 years old, really young in the grand scheme of things, Linfield itself is 180 years old.
It's old.
I mean, it was established the same year that Oregon as a state was established.
Tell you that year, but it's old too.
But so
1859.
There you go.
This wine studies program, in the grand scheme of things, is very brief in the history of Linfield University. But the more I learned about it, the more I realized Linfield was serious about it. They recognized what this meant to our community, going back to that. Learning things about what the wine industry is contributing to Oregon right now. You know, grapes are the biggest form of agriculture in Oregon at the moment, providing the most jobs and the most wages for any agriculture in the state. The wine industry provided $8.5 billion to the Oregon economy last year alone in 2023.
That's a big number.
It is a big number. So I think Linfield recognizing how important this business is to the state of Oregon, this industry is, and it's kind of declaring that we want to be the university at the heart of wine country that is dedicating ourselves to educating students about wine business and winemaking and viticulture. I was really inspired by that. And knowing that I could get in at this ground level and get involved, and I was talking about before this point of stewardship, I just thought that it was the right move. So everyone I've met who's involved in the wine studies department and wine studies program so far has been absolutely inspired as this vision about where it will grow to, and I'm just elated to be a part of that. And yeah, I'm not an educator. You know, the extent of my educating abilities goes towards training my students, my employees on how to run hospitality business and how to make wine. But I was brought in to lead this business side of the program. And so Acorn to Oak Wine Experience is the small business that I operate here on 3rd Street, McMinnville. And it is an extension of the wine studies program with Linfield. Fundamentally, I am running a beautiful small wine bar in the heart of Oregon wine country, focused on Oregon wines. And so for me, putting everything else in the periphery for a moment, just saying what my goal was to start a successful small business where we are showcasing an incredible variety of Oregon wines, where the purpose was to showcase the story that is the current narrative of the Oregon wine industry. So producers that have been doing this for three generations, producers who are brand new, producers who are making some of the world's best Pinot Noir, as well as some of the other varieties that we can inevitably grow in our region. And what we're making is a wine experience where folks can come in and do a flight that rotates on a weekly basis, a glass of wine, buy bottles retail, and have access to brand new, fresh, excited, inspired producers. Right now we have 26 different producers in our small society, but
that's crazy. That's a lot.
26 wineries, and you know, as far down south in Oregon as Applegate Valley, and as far north as the Columbia River Gorge AVA, and then of course riddled throughout Willamette Valley. But we had a flight last weekend where we showed five wines, and it was Viognier and Aligoté, a red blend of Malbec Syrah and Viognier, a Gamay Noir, and a Tempranillo, all from Willamette Valley.
And none of them Pinot.
None of them Pinot.
Or Chardonnay.
You know, it was Pinot Noir that drew me here from the East Coast, but still, I just get really excited about the fact that there's this many world-class wines coming from Oregon now, and how we are, I think, in this generation of experimentation and growth, and I love that we're able to proliferate that. So yeah, like I said, fundamentally, we are just a stunning wine bar where you can come in to learn or just enjoy yourself and always have a good glass of Oregon wine, but intimately, of course, we're tied to the university in the form of all of my employees are Linfield students that I am bringing on to work over here and, you know, learn everything from hospitality, wine business, sharing everything with them right now as the business is in its infancy, from like our weekly reports to our P&L sheets to helping me to cultivate the mailers and the social media as we just, you know, get this new business going. We're building out a wine club. The business itself operates as this learning lab for students to come in and learn these soft skills, real skills, to build up a resume that is extremely relevant to the wine industry. And then intimately as well, you know, all of the profits are going to be going towards student support. Every dollar that comes from our profitability is going right back to the university to support students in the form of internships support wages, internships, and scholarships. We are making our own Acorn to Oak scholarship that's going back to the university. And so, you know, down to some of the minute details, all the art on the walls, it acts constantly as a gallery for Linfield student artists. So I've got a liaison from a student from the art department at Linfield, who's doing an internship for curating our space and swapping out art on a regular basis, down to, yeah, the spittoons that we put at tables when you sit down and do a tasting are made by a Linfield ceramicist. So intimately, all Linfield related, fundamentally, just a great wine experience.
That's so cool. I had no idea it was really that in depth. And maybe I just haven't been paying attention to your social media near as close as I'm supposed to be. So what are you looking forward to, like, in the future? Like, what are the plans going forward that you're excited about that maybe may or may not be on the schedule? Both of you.
I'll mention I was just talking about Acorn to Oak, so I got two things that I have in mind. You know, one, we're coming up on our first wine club release. So we have made our own little wine club, a DTC wine club. I think it's, to me, I've been running wine clubs for the past 10 years. To me, this is the most exciting one that I've been a part of. Like I said, 26 different producers. We're doing like mixed six packs, mixed 12 packs twice per year, fully customizable. So one of our members can functionally create their own wine club with more than like 36 different options twice a year. And always fantastic options there. And then also, yeah, we're making Linfield wine. We started last year with our own alternating proprietorship custom crush situation. Linfield now has its own winery in the eyes of the government. And
that's crazy.
We are making wine that students are helping to craft.
It's not just jungle juice anymore.
No, this is good stuff. Yeah. We did a ton and a half of Pinot Noir and 3 tons of Chardonnay from the 2023 vintage. But I think that this just, the winemaking side really ties into this overarching metaphor that we're working with here. You know, wine in the bottle ages and changes and becomes and improves over time, relating to the student who evolves in a personal way throughout the process of their education, down to the name Acorn to Oak, you know, this seed that grows into a great tree. I think the wine industry is absolutely goes hand in hand with this idea of education. And that's what our program's all about.
Yeah.
That was very deep. Yeah. Yes. Very well thought out.
He's got it down.
Yes. It's so great.
And so, well, he's got all that going on. And again, I'm just interim and only been here for about a month or so. I'm still dreaming of all the things that can happen. But I think that I always think back to, you know, what is so special about Linfield. And it's really its place where it is in the world. And we are truly in the most amazing region for wine. And we have beautiful facilities and beautiful vineyards that students can learn from within a short step away, really, miles away. So my hope is that we can really start to really strengthen and nurture those relationships with our partners that are already out there in the business, making things happen, and really give our students like just the real scoop on what this life is all about. And that is a very unique position that I think Linfield has that many other universities just simply don't. You know, what we have here, I always say this, and maybe it's not the nicest thing to say, but what we're doing here is truly rare. You can't do this in Nebraska. You can't do this in New Mexico. This is about the Willamette Valley, and it's about Oregon, and special things happen here. So again, just I think that we have a great potential of what we can build here with this program.
I think it's really exciting, yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
And we didn't really highlight the abroad stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit ticked that this was not available to me when I was a student. I did go abroad. Actually, Linfield has a wonderful study abroad program, mm-hmm. and I went to England. I went there because I didn't have to learn a language. I was so wrong because it's a whole different English language over there. And so my education was, it was just different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very versed in drinking as well, English ales for the most part. But I'm excited to see what you guys are doing because it's not just this two-year internship program. There's other things that are going on as well that I think as a student coming in, I would be extremely excited about the potential of. Are there any like really cool ones coming up that we should throw out to the world so we can get some new students?
Right away? Always now is a great time. We're going to be having some new courses in the fall. They're not approved yet, so I can't announce them. But we're looking at some new, I think, really new, interesting courses. I think this, you mentioned something about the study abroad program, and I think that is something that we really can strengthen, and it gets it back to the heart of Linfield being the place for the International Pinot Noir Celebration. And so already this town and this university is known around the world. And again, in gratitude to the pioneers, there are really amazing relationships with folks all over the world in wine, from South Africa to, I mean, Australia, Tasmania. I mean, they're everywhere beyond just France and Italy, wine regions. And so I think really this program has a real strong reach that it could potentially go into with the study abroad. So, but I can't tell you that's happening right away.
That's okay. Just you don't have to tell me.
Gotta work
it's coming.
On that.
It's coming.
Hopefully that will be coming soon.
Well, I think it's all very exciting. And anything else you want to add before I...
No, just come on down and visit Paul. I mean, he does an exceptional job. As he was mentioning, the students really know their stuff. They're getting an incredible course on how to speak to wine and the stories behind wines. They're very well educated. And thanks to Paul, he says he's not an educator, but he is, because I've heard him speak. And I listen to these young people speak about the AVAs and the varieties and how wines are made. And it's pretty amazing to see it in action. And so we're quickly producing some pretty amazing wine professionals out of that place. So yeah, come on down and see what it's all about.
Yeah, it's been a joy working with these students. I've been blown away. I have a couple of students that had no wine experience at all when I first started working with them. Now, we do blind tastings on a weekly basis. Now they're picking like Chenin Blanc and Pinot Noir out of a lineup without even knowing what it is. And then, yeah, seeing them bring new wine club members into our society, sell wines, talk about these wines, get excited. It's amazing. And I think it's just a testament to like the discipline, the eagerness of kind of the student mentality. But we have a great experience at Acorn to Oak. And we would love to just, invite you in and show you what we're pouring this week.
Well, speaking of, we have two different wines on the table that we have not mentioned that we probably should because, well, we haven't gotten into the Pinot yet, but that's next. So tell us what's on the table here, because I'm assuming these are two of your producers that you're featuring in the wine bar.
Right. Yeah. Our entire list in Acorn to Oak as well is made up of winery partners who have made individual contributions to Linfield Student Scholarships. So there's that next level of partnership and intimacy with these wineries. And today, I brought Seder Fire, the wine that we started with before. I am part of that society. But the other two, of course, are the one that we're drinking right now is a Pinot Blanc from Ricochet Wines, of course, crafted by Eric Berg, who is just an absolute pillar of our community here in McMinnville. He happens to also be an adjunct professor of winemaking 101 at Linfield. So he also has that extra tether to our society. His wines are stunning. He's somebody who just has this absolute work ethic, absolute discipline, but he's so playful. I think that all the wine exists on this spectrum of playful to severe. And I think that his wines have the severity while his attitude is playful. Love that man. And his wine is killer.
He's definitely one of my favorites as well. See you next time we got wine in our glass. He's definitely a friend all the way around. Yeah.
Awesome. I hope he hears us say this.
He will. I'll make sure. I'm going to send the whole episode to him and make sure that he knows it. He's got to listen to it all.
And then the Pinot Noir that I brought that we're about to tap into is from Bjornsen Vineyard. This is a winery that just celebrated their 15th anniversary. They are making stunning wines. Scott Sabadini is the winemaker there. He's a very skilled winemaker. His Pinot Noirs are, to me, some of the best in the region. Definitely some of the best in Eola Amity Hills AVA. The one we're about to indulge in is a 2022 Edward Pinot Noir, which I understand is their top-tier blend alongside their Isabella, but this is the one that is geared towards being a little bit more full-bodied and a little bit more concentrated. So I'm excited to see the color on this 2022 Pinot Noir and enjoy a sip in a second.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm looking forward to that now, too. Well, thank you both. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Paul. And thank you, Linfield, for letting you play hooky for a little while to come down, hang out with us.
Exactly.
Greatly appreciate not only your stories, but really introducing the world to Linfield and what they're doing, because it's more than just a liberal arts college. This really has become this really great mecca for wine education as well. So, and I'm very proud as that alum to be able to share that with everybody I know.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
And as always, we've got a huge thank you to Daniel with South of Autumn Productions. We have Dustin back with Biscuits and Pickles this week with giving us some great snacks. And for all of you, thank you for what you do. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next time we got wine in our glass.